Welcome to In Plain Sight, a cybercrime magazine podcast series brought to you by Conceal. Conceal is a zero-trust network privacy and security company that disguises and protects your enterprise's online presence and privacy. Conceal enables secure browsing and secure critical data and resources in the cloud using disruptive malware protection technology. To learn more about our sponsor, visit conceal.io. I'm your host, Paul John Spaulding, GM of production at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me is Steve Morgan, the editor-in-chief of Cybercrime Magazine. Steve, according to Verizon's 2022 Data Breach Investigation Report, vulnerability exploitation as the entry point of threat actors has doubled. Now, Conceal will, or by the time that you're listening to this, the blog post might already be out there, but they did a nice blog post about this report, specifically talking about vulnerability exploitation. Now, what I wanted to jump into, Steve, is in the Verizon report, they talk about ransomware, of course, and ransomware is on the rise. And the Verizon report highlights ransomware's upward trend with an almost 13% rise in 2021. This is an increase as big as the last 5 years combined. Steve, we talk about ransomware all the time. What's the state of ransomware today? And maybe you could just give us some of your thoughts about that.
Sure. So first, let me talk, Paul, about the Verizon DBI report and DBIR report, that is. And it's not often that I'm endorsing, you know, reports outside of ours, but they do a fantastic job. I have been tracking this report for many years. In fact, we had Christopher Porter on with us. He's the CISO at Fannie Mae. And Christopher was one of the early producers of that report. So I would recommend that every CISO, every cybersecurity leader read that report if they only read two. The other one would be our annual cybercrime report. But
a nice plug for our own stuff.
Yeah. So let me jump in here and answer your question, Paul. So you ask about ransomware. There's two things we look at. There are ransomware incidents. You know, how often is this happening? How often a company is being struck? And DBIR, they're saying 13%. The other thing we take a look at are the actual damages that occur as a result of those ransomware incidents. So we're sort of trending and tracking this the same way that DBIR is. And to give you some, you know, perspective or to kind of marry our report to theirs, we're looking at about a 30% year-over-year rise over the next decade. Now that's cost, not the number of incidents, but, you know, what it's actually costing organizations. So this thing is growing out of control. So we absolutely concur with Verizon's research on ransomware. We estimated that the damage costs would grow from $20 billion in 2021 to $265 billion by 2031. So that's just staggering growth over the next 10 years. Again, that's based on 30% year-over-year growth of the damage costs. Ransomware gangs are continuing to refine and intensify their attacks, vastly outflanking businesses that are juggling the need for ransomware defenses. In fact, we have a new report due out in Q3, and it's going to break down the ransomware gangs and explain who's who and what they do. So this is a really big issue for our industry.
Steve, when we think about ransomware, we're thinking about threat actors who are either individuals. They also might be part of organizations like you just named that were coming out with a list of all these organizations because there's so many out there. Where are we seeing a lot of these organizations come from? Or is it, can you even describe it in that way? Is there even a geographical location? Is it out of certain nation states that are, like with Ukraine and Russia right now, having a lot of cyber warfare activity?
Well, you know, there's a lot of hostile nation states that are, you know, supporting these ransomware groups. But you know what, Paul? They're right here in the U.S. They're in Latin America. They're in Canada. They're all over the world. It's something that's just growing and growing. And unfortunately, we're seeing more and more ransomware attacks being launched as a result. You still have solo operators out there who are using ransomware as a kit or as a service that come in the form of kits that they're buying on the dark web and, you know, launching attacks on small businesses. So this isn't just, you know, corporate America. It's not just, you know, large enterprises. It's something that is affecting businesses of all types and all sizes all over the world.
Steve, one of the biggest things I notice whenever we talk about, because obviously me and you talk here in the office about ransomware a lot because it's in the news a lot. Unfortunately, it comes up a lot in conversations. And when a company has a ransomware attack against them, sometimes they shut down their systems. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it means that their operation has to shut down, whether it be a factory or a store. The consequences can be, in a worst case, sometimes permanent as well. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, how does a cyber attack and the reaction a company has to it, does it affect their reputation at all? Does it affect their mindset in the eyes of the public? Does it affect maybe shareholders in a very serious way, or even the employees, the people directly in the company?
Well, since today we're talking about Verizon's DBIR report, let me answer that, you know, with, you know, some context. I remember in 2017, I was writing about this. Yahoo suffered a major hack. The sell price to Verizon, Verizon bought Yahoo, was cut by $350 million. That's massive. And that was directly related to the hack. So, you know, when you're looking at a big company, but you and I, Paul, we talk on the Cybercrime Magazine podcast on a regular basis about hacks and data breaches. We talk about ransomware attacks, and there's many companies who are suffering because ransomware takes down its systems. You have situations where in that supply chain, partners are turning to other suppliers because they can't afford to, you know, sit and wait for product. So it has ramifications ranging from stock price declines for publicly held companies to mergers and acquisition deals and, you know, what a company actually sells for, all the way down to Main Street, where some companies, frankly, are just going out of business because they can't, you know, respond to a ransomware attack.
Steve, we've had a lot of different guests on Cybercrime Radio. One of them has been Gordon Lawson. He's the CEO of Conceal. And the reason I bring his name up is I want you to tell the listeners, if they're not already familiar with him, what's his deal? Who is he? Why is he the CEO? You know, you could just give us a little overview of Gordon.
You know, Gordon is such a great guy. He is a marquee CEO and executive in our industry. He's been in senior leadership roles with several recognizable cyber brands before Conceal. And the thing about Gordon, when you listen to him, is that he truly understands what CISOs are up against, and he can speak to them. But Gordon can also elevate to the CEO and the boardroom, and that's really, really important. It's important for that company to get in front of the media. It's important for them to, you know, successfully transact business with the companies that they're working with, and they're growing very quickly. There's just way too many cybersecurities, Paul, who are struggling to explain the big picture. And he's also very humble. You know, he puts his advisory board members in front of him. Gordon, you know, isn't, you know, someone with, you know, one of these outsized personalities, which is the case with a lot of CEOs where, you know, he needs to be in the spotlight. He surrounds himself with amazing people, and he's truly created a team there, himself and his board and his advisors.
Steve, we'll get to the advisors in a minute because I have a question for you about that. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because when Gordon's come on in the past to Cybercrime Radio, we've talked about the unfilled positions in cybersecurity. I don't know if you could just shed a little bit of light on this, maybe either from Gordon's perspective, your own, and it's probably a similar feeling that pretty much every person we have on talks about. It's we're talking about the same thing here, but everyone has a little bit of a different perspective.
Well, by now, I would hope that anybody listening to this, everybody gets it. We've got a tremendous number of positions we need to fill. If you need a number, it's 3.5 million. That's what we estimate. That's as of right now. The good news, if there is any, you know, around that, is we don't see that number growing a lot over the next 5 years. The bad news is that the positions are still open and they're not being filled. So we definitely have, you know, somewhat of a labor crisis on our hands. And Gordon's company, Conceal, is bringing technology to market that can really help with that. There's a lot of other companies out there as well. But it's a big deal. It's a big issue. It's one that he speaks to, and it's something our entire industry is grappling with.
Steve, moving on to Conceal's advisory board, I wanted to ask you about someone in particular who, again, we've also had on Cybercrime Radio, and that is retired Admiral Michael Rogers. Again, we did a podcast with him and Gordon. What is he like, and what does he bring to Conceal in your eyes?
I mean, first off, he just has so much credibility, and it's not just because of, you know, the positions that he's held. You have to listen to him. You have to watch, you know, the video. He is just so intelligent. He really gets cyber, and he surprised me by how much he knew. And then as a person, he just has, you know, such a great story, you know, who he is and where he came from. He's very down to earth, and he spoke to us about so much, not just Conceal, but the industry. And really, I was so intrigued by his message around getting more young people involved. So it was great hearing from him. We also had the chance to interview Christopher Miller, the former acting Secretary of Defense, and he was also fantastic. So if it takes a board of advisors to raise a cybersecurity company, then that might explain why Conceal is a high flyer in our industry.
Steve, before we go, I just want to give you the chance to share any information with our listeners, either about ransomware, it could be about Conceal, it could be about the talent needed that we need to bring into cyber. I don't know if you have any thoughts before we go.
Paul, let me share something with you that we haven't put out yet. Conceal TV, you're hearing it for the first time right now. Conceal TV is a series. It's going to launch very shortly, perhaps by the time you're listening to this podcast episode. And we are going to have Gordon and others from Conceal, and then some of the types of people we've talked about on this episode coming on for remote video interviews, and it's going to be a great series. We're looking forward to it. We will be producing one of those every month over the next year. So Conceal TV, stay tuned.
Steve, thank you so much for joining and giving us your thoughts.
Thank you, Paul.
In Plain Sight is a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series sponsored by Conceal, a zero-trust network privacy and security company that disguises and protects your enterprise's online presence and privacy. Conceal enables secure browsing and secure critical data and resources in the cloud using next-generation ransomware protection technology. To learn more about our sponsor, visit conceal.io.